Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our show today. We're so excited to introduce our guest today, Kim Grevler, out of New York City, and she is a clinical social worker, a life coach, and an entrepreneurial dreamer. And we're so happy to have you on the show today, Kim. Welcome. Thanks for coming on and sharing your story and your professional pursuits with us. Thanks so much.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here with you guys.
Nice, nice. So maybe a good place to start, and just so you know, Kim, Bruce and I will, you know, jump in, we'll ask different questions, it's pretty conversational. Maybe we could start with just a little bit of your background, Kim, and professionally, and sort of what led you into the coaching profession.
Sure. Kind of came about it, I guess, in a normal way, in the sense that I was in the helping profession for many years. I was working as a clinical social worker in child welfare and then in adult inpatient psychiatry. And I just felt very burnt out. I got my master's in social work. I'd studied it for many years and then eventually became a licensed clinical social worker. And it was just a little overbearing for me. I wanted to help people, but it was too much. And I got very burnt out and I needed to take some time off. And my aunt actually had gotten her life coaching certificate and suggested that I might consider it if I wanted to take a different approach to listening to people's stories and helping them. And I thought about it. My mom backed me on it. She thought it was a good idea. And I just kind of, I took a course here in New York, and it really resonated with me. And then I hired my own life coach, which was extremely life-changing. And I hadn't realized the amount of work that I needed to do for myself. And once I saw the benefits, I was like, okay, I think I can get into this a little bit more professionally, you know, to help others. So very short summary, but that's kind of how I got to
No,
where
that's,
I am.
That's really nice. That's a great segue into what led you to the coaching profession. And I also liked what you said in terms of, you know, if you're going to be a coach, get a coach, right? And so maybe, right? So maybe you can share with us what that experience was like for you, or is still for you, and how that sort of has helped you, maybe what led you to getting a coach, a personal coach, professional coach for yourself, and maybe who you were and who you are today because of that. Maybe we could jump into that a little bit before we go back to the business side.
Yeah, sure, no problem. It was completely life-changing for me. I took the life coaching certification program course, and relearning things that I already knew, but just in a different way, made me realize that I had things that were on my mind, that were on my heart, that I just hadn't worked through. And I had gone to many therapists before. Well, actually not many, but I went to two. I think that's many, but maybe it's not for others. And it just was not working for me. And I thought, okay, let me try a life coach. And my life coach was actually one of my facilitators for the course. And it just really opened my eyes to a new way of thinking, as opposed to seeing my life struggles through a more pathological lens. It helped me to kind of just validate myself and grow and learn more about myself in a way that was empowering. And I don't know, just going through that process, honestly, Cindy and Bruce, it's opened my eyes to just how connected we all are as humans, and we all face the same challenges. I know people say that all the time, but going through it myself, not as a coach or as a therapist, but as a person, as a client, as a patient, it just made me realize how much more I can empathize with others and really kind of hone in on people's struggles when they talk about them.
Right. So it sounds to me like from your own experience and being coached yourself, it brought you more empathy and more understanding of maybe your process and how that can benefit somebody else and how the same we really are on a lot of levels. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, exactly. I think that being able to help others as a result is the real key point, because going through it, you're able to think about yourself differently and also the process differently. I don't know. It's so hard to put into words. It really is. It's one of those things that takes time and it takes patience and it takes you as the coach, but also as the client to really, really, give it your all. And once you do that, and once you kind of buy into the process and trust the process, is when I found that I made my most progress and I just feel like a new person as a result. And I think that that is what will help me and does help me to be a coach for others, because you have to get the groove of the process.
Yeah. I liked what you said about trusting the process. Bruce, if you don't mind jumping in here, because I know in your own private practice in the Texas market, as well as executive coaching, do you find that trusting the process really important, and do people hold back? I mean, because, you know, obviously if somebody has an understanding, like Kim, you came in with, you know, a helping profession background as a clinical social worker. And when you took training at, you know, got certified as a coach, you came with a different level of expertise than some people may in terms of understanding what coaching is about, which is why Bruce and I, you know, started the Concierge Coaches Show, because we want people to understand it more. And so possibly you may have trusted the process a little bit more, Kim, because you had a background. Mm-hmm. Or some, like the certification and the education, do you think that helped you? Or do you think the coaching process itself pulled your trust level up? What do you think?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would have to say it's both. I'm very determined as it is in general as a person. So when I say I want to do something, I'm going to do it fully. And so figuring my life out was priority. So, and then having the expertise and kind of the knowledge about a little bit more about personal development and human behavior, I think it did help. But actually, maybe I'll change my answer. I think it really is more so the process and the connection. I feel extremely connected to my coach. I feel like she gets me and that I get her. And so as a result, I think that that helps me to trust the process more. If there isn't that relational connection, I really do think it's much harder, because you can know everything there is to know about coaching or therapy or helping people, and your client can as well. But if you can't get each other on a personal level, I think it's very, very difficult.
Right. Which to me points to, you know, trusting the process for you is like making that connection to another person and them to you, and knowing that it's like that piece of the puzzle that you fit together. And
yes,
because of that connection, you can trust the process. I think that's probably pretty right on. I think in my experience as a coach with my clients, you know, there are certain people that gravitate towards each other, find each other universally. You know what I mean? I mean, that may be some little bit of woo-woo, but I think that as a coach, the right people will find you, which will lead me to another question that I know you and I talked about previously, Kim, I'd like to get to. But Bruce, I'd like to get your vibe on this in terms of how are your clients in terms of trusting? Do you find everybody's different? Does it depend on your connection with them? What do you think?
No, not every client is trusting. And the reason why some of the coaching cases that I get referred to are from like an internal affairs perspective or an HR perspective.
Third party, we call it maybe.
Yeah, but there's the reason why I'm seeing them is because something has been identified as there's an issue, there's a problem. And so sometimes I have to clear the hurdle with the client to say, look, the company has funded me to coach you. However, I don't work for the company. I am here for you. And there is a distinction. I'm a contractor. I don't take any other company money. I don't work for the company. I'm not, you know, part of the company's agenda or evil empire.
Right, so that you are separate from that you, yeah.
So I do sometimes find myself having to sell my position, and I have to earn my client's trust. Kind of like
you may have to work a little harder at it. Yeah. And I get it from a business perspective. Yeah, we do have to sometimes work a little harder at that initial connection and bringing that trust into the relationship when there's a third party involved, the company itself, right? Who pays the check, right? Who pays the check? So does that happen quickly or slowly, or is that unique to the individual you're coaching in your experience?
No, I think it happens fairly quickly. I mean, I'm pretty adept at what I've been doing over 30 years, and like our guest, you know, I come from a clinical psychology background. I hold a licensed professional counseling license, et cetera. So, and had a private practice or have a private practice, you know, going into this deal. So there's a lot of that interpersonal and client type of, you know, I don't want to say bedside manner, you know what I mean? Just kind of cutting through, building an alliance, building a quote-unquote therapeutic or coaching alliance, and trying to really work on that as my kind of Maslow hierarchy of needs. You know, I have to have that trust. I have to have that regard. I have to have that client believing that I'm with them. I'm with them in the moment. I'm congruent. You know, all that
right,
stuff
right.
kind of Rogers talks about. And so, yeah,
And I think what you said, Kim, I think it's pretty pertinent to the coaching relationship, establishing it, is that initial connection and the initial coaching conversation. So once you establish that with a coach, kind of lead us down the garden path, Kim, if you would, in terms of where, you know, who you were, where you were at, and what the coaching did to bring you to where you're at today as an individual. Personally and professionally?
Sure. So I had just left my job. I was a clinical social worker at an inpatient psychiatric facility here in Brooklyn. So that was a locked facility where adults with severe and persistent mental illness were admitted against their will. And it was a locked facility, meaning that they couldn't leave. They couldn't find themselves out until they were, you know, clinically stable enough to do so. We worked with a team. It was, needless to say, it was a very, very exhausting job. It was a meaningful work, but unfortunately, working for a city hospital in Brooklyn, the bureaucracy and the people, the burnout, it's just too much. And I kind of just hit a bit of a breaking point professionally. And then also personally, I was just, I had just been married, about a year married, and there were just things bubbling to the surface, things mostly about myself and needing to always fix people and help people. I mean, we get into this work for a reason, a lot of us. And if we're not clear about what's driving that, it can be very, very unsettling and upsetting and everything of the like. And so I needed to take some time to figure it all out, to kind of compartmentalize, okay, what is me and what are some of my thinking blocks? What are some of my emotional blocks that are contributing to me feeling so burnt out professionally and also emotionally just in my personal relationships? You know, I was really identifying as a fixer, as a perfectionist, as always needing to do the right thing by people, to not be selfish. And what I realized through the course and then through my own coaching has just been the importance of boundaries and coaching does an awesome job at prioritizing this, you know, in terms of teaching our clients and also modeling it for our clients, because it's one of those things that we just, I think a lot of us, as we get older and even growing up, we're taught one thing and then we have to unlearn and reteach ourselves in new ways being in the world.
And yes.
So doing that through coaching allowed me to just breathe easy and compartmentalize, what do I want? How do I want to get there? What am I doing this for myself, or am I doing this out of obligation and fear for others, and for what they're going to think of me? And it sounds so simple, but we all do this all the time. You know, we're acting out of fear about what other people are going to say or think or internalize or interpret what we're doing and how we're doing it. And you can
how it's gonna impact
doing
like,
that.
Yeah. Right. And worrying about how it's going to impact others and putting, you know, others' needs first. And where do you draw the line in terms of taking care of yourself and still being in a helping profession, almost like the, like you mentioned, the setting the boundaries. So it sounds like you had
exactly.
to go through your whole process of pulling yourself to where you're at today, which, of course, gives you more clarity, not only professionally, but personally, right? So maybe you can share a little bit of the process. Go ahead, Bruce.
So, and look, I worked in the federal prison system in a similar capacity, right? Just team, clients, institutionalization, stuff like that. Do you think you were at some sort of a, were you at some sort of a personal / vocational impasse? You know what I mean? And this is a way of accessing who you really are, you know, moving forward and working with people.
Interesting question.
Which was an impasse? If coaching was, or if
or the impetus to gravitate toward coaching paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is interesting. I've spoken about this in my own coaching. You know, if my need to leave and take time off was more about that it wasn't the right fit for me career-wise, or perhaps the setting in which I was working wasn't a good fit for what it was that I wanted to be doing. So perhaps internally, I do love and want to be in the helping profession and be there for people, and just that setting was not allowing me to flourish. It wasn't nurturing me in that same way. And so perhaps I thought, oh, well, it's not for me. You know, maybe helping people isn't for me, and I, you know, and all of the negative thoughts that can come with that. And so, yeah, it's been a really interesting journey to figure out what it is that, you know, I want to do in terms of helping, supporting, being there for people, and in what capacity,
right.
without feeling stuck.
And you know what? Let me say something right now. I'm proud of you. I don't know you from Adam, but I'm proud of you because a lot of people. I work with a lot of people that I encourage that used to work in the system with me. Like, man, I'm doing this now. I'm doing that. I feel great. I feel free. I feel like I'm the captain of my own ship minus market forces, which is still I'm the captain of my own ship. I feel great. And I want to share that with other people who were kind of oppressed, if you will, in an institution setting. But yet, you know, some people will not make that leap. They will not stop what they're doing and move forward and take that risk. So I just, again, head it off to you. You're taking a risk. You're going for it. And I'm here to tell you, girl, it's a, as you probably already know, this is a beautiful world to be in and to
I love that.
Yeah, man. I love this.
Yeah.
She took
the time. She stopped working. Yeah. She took the time personally. And sometimes that's scary, you know, like financially, you can be questioning yourself personally and professionally. You know, you feel like a need to make that income to pay your bills, but you jumped off the cliff and you took that time for yourself to figure it out.
Very bold.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think that this also speaks to our clients, you know, particularly how you were asking what's the process like going through coaching as a client and then, you know, being a coach and with all of the experience as well in the helping profession. And that experience alone, I mean, how many of us go through that? We feel stuck, we feel miserable, we're doing what we got our degree in or what we've worked so hard to do, and yet we feel completely depleted of energy, we feel miserable, we feel taken advantage of, we feel like we don't have choices or no one values us. And people feel this in every area of their life, in their relationships, their career, their you know, their family, their homes, anywhere. And that feeling of stuck and not having choices is probably one of the worst feelings ever.
Horrible.
To be able to kind of have that experience, recognize that, validate that in others, and then be able to hopefully empower them to, like you said, take the risk, because my gosh, it's scary. Oh my God, it's so scary. But it pays off.
Yeah, it's hard to take that risk to jump. Just like what you said, to even take the time for somebody to stop doing what they're doing, what they're making a living doing, what they've been trained to do, to absolutely get to that impasse where I personally and professionally, I'm miserable that if I don't jump and give myself a break into jumping into something else, or that break in between to process like you've done, to give yourself that time freedom, like if you had to put it into words, what that time freedom and that this experience has done for you now that you've walked through it, how would you describe that to us and to our listeners?
Instantly the word grounding came to mind. I just feel so much more whole and grounded, if that makes sense. We have this vision, or I had this vision of like who I wanted to be, what I want to do, and I still do, and I'm sure I'm going to change that a million times over. But when you're not grounded in your own heart and your soul and your mind, and those things aren't connecting, then there's this feeling of like always running around and chasing the next thing. You'd never actually feel satisfied or fulfilled. And I think that taking the time for me has allowed me to feel that those three things have aligned, that they synchronized to some extent. And I'm by no means perfect. I mean, of course not. But there's so much more. I feel so much more relaxed, calm, confident, and okay with my process. Like, I'm okay. If it's not working out, all right, let's move on to the next thing without taking it so personally and freaking out and running after the next thing and then feeling bad that I did it and then resenting the person that suggested X, Y, and Z and just, you know, kind of like running around, like chasing your own tail. I just feel grounded. I don't know if that is translating well verbally, but
well, grounded is a fabulous place to be. It sounds like you've come full circle and you've evolved to this place where you're just okay being who you are and really more aware of what's going on without all the analyzing, all the crazy, all the chasing, all the pursuit. Tell us about how you have arrived where you're at now and how you're processing the professional side of your life, you know, the opportunities that are coming to you. Tell us a little bit about what you're currently doing now that you've taken this time off.
Yes, that's a very good transition into how to kind of implement all this growth and learning. I had dreams of grandeur, and I still do, and I still always will, and please God, they'll all work out, of inventing great products and getting them manufactured and becoming a global, you know, entrepreneur. Like, let's pray that happens. But because it's not going to happen this year, perhaps, I needed to kind of hone in and think more about what skills do I have, what do I already enjoy doing, and what are my options? And those come down to helping people, speaking to people, empowering them, and getting conversations going. And so I now do online therapy. So that's through a company called Talkspace, and I do text and video chat therapy with folks in the New York City, in New York City, but in New York State, because that's where I'm licensed, and I'm also currently getting licensed down in Arkansas because they do need some more clinicians down there. So that's opened up a whole new world for me, and it's been super interesting, and just been meeting a whole, you know, bunch of amazing people through that process. I then also opened up my own coaching business for millennial men and women, you know, folks my age or a bit younger, or you know, 2 or 3 years older than me, who are kind of going through the same process of figuring out who they want to be, where they are, what's holding them back, and doing that through the phone or video chat, whichever they prefer, because it's too hard to sometimes get to an office and sit down in someone's office and then commute back to work or back home. It's just a bit more convenient.
Yeah.
Depending
where you live, of course.
Folks.
That's I totally agree with that. Yeah.
And then I'm still doing some social work stuff. I'm still connecting to social work stuff. I'm going to be starting out soon, going to do some home visits for adults who have just been discharged from psychiatric facilities. So I'm still connecting to some of my passions, but just on my terms, you know, part-time things and dipping my toes in little pools rather than feeling compelled to, you know, work a 9-to-5, be there, be constricted by, you know, rules and regulations and documentation and bureaucracy and the list goes on. So still doing what I love but finding creative ways to do it. Yeah.
I love that you said dipping your toes in little pools. Tell us a little bit how that transformation happened, where you're doing several different things, but they seem to be feeding you in a good way?
I think it's about just like giving yourself permission to just not have to be something amazing. You know, I know that sounds so silly maybe, and people are like, what is this girl talking about? But we do put so much pressure on ourselves to have the perfect career, the best job, do something meaningful that other people will respect and,
recognize,
you know, perhaps even float over or recognize, and just kind of taking a breath and saying, well, maybe one day I'll get there, but for now, let me put the puzzle pieces together that I already have in my box. Like I sometimes always say, we're so busy looking outside the box, let's sometimes look inside the box and use what you already have. And just kind of maximize your resources, mobilize your resources that you already have. So when I say little pools, I guess I mean, you know, they're all kind of part-time to full-time gigs that will all, you know, of course, add up to be really great and meaningful and pay the bills, et cetera. But it's really giving myself permission and allowance to just try different things, put myself out there without the pressure of having to have it be one way or another.
I love that. I love that. Hey, Bruce, when she said look inside the box, you know, like mobilize the resources you have, can you share with her your favorite saying of mine? Are you there?
Oh, yeah. You got to get in where you fit in.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, get in where you fit in. He says that all the time, and I love that. It's like, you know, we all have to have our entry point. You were a clinical social worker. You got certified as a life coach. And so now you're fitting the pieces, doing some online therapy. You're sort of fitting the pieces of the puzzle together. And it sounds like you're doing that in a very calm, like sort of in the moment, you know, it's working way.
Yeah, that's coaching. That's a testament to my coach and my coaching experience. Because that's what you learn through this process, right? Is how can you self-regulate, calm your mind, be present, all these beautiful things that we see on quotes and billboards and yoga and et cetera. But it's hard to actually do. And I think that that's where coaching really comes in, and it really magnifies that the importance of that process and teaches us and helps us to get there because, otherwise, you know, you can get overwhelmed with your thoughts and getting caught up in the shoulds, woulds, like what should I be doing more of, or all these kind of things, rather than just saying, all right, I'm going to give this a try. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Let's move on to the next thing, or let's keep on doing what's working and shift what isn't. I think it's really about that pressure. It's just, we need to learn how to take the pressure off of ourselves. We have to
unlearn.
Yeah,
I like that.
These things that we've learned throughout our lives by society, by our parents, by our teachers, do better, could be doing, should you have, would you have, could you have, and as an adult, you
make it happen, make it happen, you know, that whole make it happen, you know, like we're just so responsible for making it happen. Not that we, you know, we obviously have to get up and do it, you know, like as you put your coaching practice together, I mean, you know, there's pieces of the puzzle you have to sort of acknowledge and just get up and do, and so that you can make yourself available. There's the business side of it, right? You have to show up and do the to-do list that gets the business side done, but I love hearing you talk about it because it seems like you've come to this point in your life where you're doing it in a natural, relaxed, let it happen, let it flow kind of way. You come across very much like that to me. And I think it takes work to get there. And to be there, it can be very rich and rewarding. And I think for me as a coach and my own journey, and I'm sure Bruce, you definitely, we've shared a lot, feel the same way. When you get there, it is a very comforting feeling to have taken the risks and jumped off the cliffs and sort of allowed it to just unravel, you know, and do the work and let it roll, right?
Yeah, I think you said it really perfectly. It, of course, nothing's easy. Nothing comes easy. But there is something to be said about putting in the work, trying something new, and giving yourself that time and patience to just kind of let it evolve without needing to push the gas all the time.
Right. And also like sort of the paradigm shift, like you're working with millennials and, you know, the old school way of thinking, right? You know, Bruce, where you were so commending her for sort of jumping off the cliff. If something's not working, it's okay to take a turn and a detour. And you know, traditionally people historically have been like, you know, you graduate, you get the big job, you know, you work at corporate, you know, you climb and you get promotions, and then you make so much money, no matter how miserable you are, you can't get out. And taking that risk, like you've done, to reassess and give yourself time to feel your way through the new journey is so necessary, but really scary for a lot of people.
Yep. I can totally understand, and that very much resonates with me, because it's not an option for everybody. I'm not going to ignore the fact that I'm very, very lucky in that I've been able and gifted this experience. And at the same time, it has also seemed to work itself out way better than I ever planned or could have envisioned. I don't know, you know, when it's right, it's right. When it's the right time, and
it's the right time.
When you've reached your maximum, when you've reached that peak, and you just, there's something that just isn't working, and you recognize it in yourself. If you keep going, it's just all going to go downhill from here. That realization that I'm no longer me. I'm someone else, and this is not okay. And I don't like this feeling. And my relationships are suffering, and things are just not working out well for me.
It's not clicking.
At this point where you have to make a change. And for some people, that doesn't necessarily have to mean, you know, taking the risk of quitting and leaving and pursuing a new dream or a new career. Of course not. You know, many people can do these changes while keeping their job, while staying in their relationship.
Right, absolutely.
You know, while having conflict. But it's this notion of having the support from a coach and having that reliability, having that accountability, having that person that you know you're going to speak to that is going to understand, reframe, give you back what you've said, and then help you to move that along in the process that you can make change. You can do that from anywhere. I mean, that's the beauty of this field, is that you don't have to make drastic, huge changes in your life to make drastic, huge changes within yourself. If that makes
sense. Like tiny steps forward, mm-hmm. tiny changes. And also, like you said, downloading, having a coach to download things too, that process can be really, you know, where you actually can sort of put some things aside for that conversation you're going to have with your coach, to have somebody to partner with to sort of sort things out and really, and I heard you say, and you know, when the coach feeds it back to you, you can reframe things. And so you're getting a different perspective and clarity within yourself just by working with a coach and sorting through the changes in your life so that you can get to the other side. I think one of the things I keep hearing when I listen to you talk is that it's okay to make a change, that it's okay to get to an impasse professionally or personally and move in a different direction if you know that sort of things are unraveling. You know, a lot of people will just stay until they unravel. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That instinct that this isn't working, I'm pretty much miserable and I need to make a shift, doesn't have to involve quitting the job or, you know, changing everything at once, but it's the acknowledgement that something has to change and I need to be moving in a different direction and allow that process to happen instead of be stricken in fear and immobilized by it.
Yep. That's so it. Yeah. It's once you recognize it, if it's there and you know that something needs to change, to not shy away from that, because that's your body telling you that you're right on, that something needs to happen.
I love that. It's so refreshing to hear you share about it. It's like that, making it okay to get to that point. And you don't have to get to the point where you're ready to crack. I mean, you know, like there are, one of my favorite stories, not really, it is funny because I laugh at fun, you know, unusual things. But one time I was in the corporate world and we were in the boardroom and somebody was sharing from another branch about how they had been in the corporate office. It was in a state where it snowed. And somebody got up from the boardroom and walked outside and just kept walking in the field. I mean, like, obviously the person had cracked. You know what I mean? You don't have... And everybody was there watching.
Yeah, that's bad.
This guy was just walking out into the field. You know, like, just continued walking. You know, like, he had enough, right? And, you know, that we don't have to get to that point. And, you know, I'm, you know, in the corporate world, Bruce, as an executive coach, I'm sure you have worked with people where they're wondering if they can take another day, right?
Exactly.
And how are they going to juggle through that, you know, like stay in the job, make it anew, do something on the side, you know, create something, some shift, some change professionally, personally, where they can become engaged again, enthusiastic and passionate about what they do, or allow the flow to happen, which, Kim, sounds like what you've done is sort of just open up to the experience of the change in your life and the coaching process to allow the metamorphosis to sort of happen naturally without, you know, not doing work. Of course, you always do the work, but that you don't have to be hitting your head against the wall. It doesn't have to be that difficult. How do you see that, Bruce, with some of the people you work with? Does it start happening naturally, or do they open up to that, you know, that metamorphosis experience?
Oh, I think they have to open up to it. I don't think it happens naturally. I think they need to be sometimes, establish that as a goal or something like that as a goal, and then work, you know, taking steps to that and identifying blocks and those things. So I definitely think that's something that is, on my end, that is learned.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if, you know, at some point, you know, I know we've all been coached, and, you know, at some point in the coaching process, once you make the connection and you build that trust, one thing that's unique about coaching is that people show up generally, predominantly ready to move forward. I mean, they are at a point in their life where they want forward progress, forward movement. They're here and they want to get there. Versus like what you guys were talking about, Kim, in the facility you worked with, you're working with a completely different population, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a clinical setting versus in a coaching profession, where people are showing up because they want change most of the time. Now, obviously, in an executive coaching, or, you know, sometimes that's a third-party situation, and what that means is the company's hiring you to coach somebody for various reasons. Maybe a little bit different, may take a little bit longer, but the coach will set that pace and that connection so that people can move forward. And that's the beautiful part of coaching, that you do get forward movement and focus. I think sometimes, you know, the focus, the clarity that happens because of the reframing. Would you say, Kim, at this point that your life is changed dramatically, personally and professionally, over the course of...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I that entire process that you just explained... showing up, being ready to move forward, being ready to make changes, being motivated. And I mean, you know, like we all have our blocks, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't even happen in a month. You know, for me, it's been almost a year. So I can say that, you know, for just shy of a year, that constant interaction, checking in, reframing, that my commitment to show up, my motivation and the support of my coaches, drastically. I mean, it's changed everything. I'm the same person, but I just feel so much more clear, so much more grounded, content, like I was talking about earlier, and just kind of, you know, free to try new things, do what I need to do without that without my old fears and issues creeping up, because that's why I got into it. You know, I couldn't be content free, and I had my own things holding me back. So the fact that I don't feel so held back anymore is life changing. You know, for
that's
people,
nice.
It's different. You know, everyone has their own thing that they're working on. But for the most part, it's something that's holding us back. And
yeah,
so,
it's like you don't have that critical voice inside your head. It sounds like you're a little bit more free to make choices and move freely through the opportunities that come to you. It's really great to hear you speak about it. And I also like that you said that we could point to, you know, the length of a coaching engagement. You know, traditionally in the profession, you know, average 90 days, maybe to 6 months, weekly sessions. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think there's any absolute way, but my experience as a coach is the people that invest and commit longer term are going to get better results. Because I agree with mm-hmm. you cannot change, you cannot push through blocks, things that are holding you back, old ways of thinking, just, you know, all of that to shift into a better version of you without putting some time in. It's not going to happen in a session or two. And that's one of the things that drove me to this profession based on what I was doing in my own career, working in the corporate world and then in a private practice as a clinical nutritionist. You know, I realized I couldn't get everything done for people in one or two sessions. And the coaching model provided that longer term work with somebody, not forever,
right.
But longer term work to where some results and that metamorphosis could change. Now, Bruce, I know typically you work with people 6 months average.
Yes, 6 months. Mm-hmm.
What has been your experience to share with us in terms of, you know, on average, where do you see the timing of a coaching engagement impacting the most positive change?
Yeah, I think a 3 month minimum. Obviously, you have to have a 3 month minimum.
I agree.
To get the work mm-hmm. done, and again, because some of my cases either involve disruptive, addictive, or compulsive behaviors, it takes a little bit longer to get some of those cognitive strategies and other stuff needed to take hold. And plus, there's other issues with the reporting, the 360, collecting all the data points, analyzing the data points, and then, you know, trying to be responsive to the stakeholders and the engagement. So, yeah, some of these corporate things just are a little bit more involved and a little bit more moving parts than a traditional
like private coaching session in your private practice. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree. But and Kim, what do you think is, you know, your opinion on time frame? I mean, it's not that there's an absolute. I mean, every situation can be different. But what's your vibe there in terms of length of engagement as a coach with a client?
I agree. That 3 months, no less than 3 months to get started is key because, you know, it takes time to kind of sift through all these things. Up to, you know, some say 3 to 6 months is good enough or long enough for coaching. But, you know, what does that mean? It so depends on the person. If you're not making any movement and it's been, you know, 5 months, it's time to reevaluate with the client what's holding them back and
right.
the reasons that they're, you know, that maybe this isn't working or what, you know, kind of explore what's going on. But if it's working and clients are engaging and they're moving forward and they are accomplishing goals and after a few months they have a new goal they want to work on, I say why not? Why not keep the process going?
I agree.
The client is benefiting primarily 100%. You know, it's all about the client and they want to keep going. Then I say why not?
Yeah, if they're making positive change, their life is improving in all areas. I think it's a fabulous thing to do. Well, we are getting closer to the end of the show, and we want to thank you, Kim. You were so fabulous to have on today. We really appreciated it. We'd like to send out to our listeners, if somebody would like to reach out to you, what's the best way to contact you, Kim?
Oh, with pleasure. Yeah, well, it was awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're
welcome.
They
can reach me. I have a website. It's Kim Grevler. That's Kim and G-R-E-V as in Victor, L-E-R.com. That's me, Kim Grevler. And they can also email me at kim@kimgrevler.com. And all of my info is right there on my website if they'd like to reach out. I would love to hear their feedback or questions. Feel free to reach out and contact me.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Kim. Thanks.
All right. You too. Thanks, Bruce.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, really good. Really nice to hear another perspective on coaching and the kind of blending of a clinical practice and clinical skill set in coaching. So really, really glad to hear what she had to say and had to offer, and just a really great demeanor and great delivery. So,
yes, indeed.
Indeed, indeed. Well, look, folks, don't hesitate to find us on Facebook at Concierge Coaches Show, and also find us on iTunes. The shows are on iTunes as well as the LA Talk Radio site. So And I can be reached at Cameron Coaches on Twitter and my internet, my website, conciergecoach.net. Cindy, how can folks reach you?
People can reach me on my website as well at wisdomfoods.com or direct at 714-943-6206. And I want to thank everybody for listening in today and hope you all have a great rest of the week.
All right, and we'll see everybody here next week.
Thanks, Bruce.
Here's Coach's Show here on LA Talk Radio. See you all later. Take care.
Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand only on LA Talk Radio.